it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
College isn't real. Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Our phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. And my God, could we get through with 2016 already? I've had it.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
I mean, a year that starts with the death of David Bowie and ends with the death of Princess Leia. We lose the Starman and General Organa in the same year. It's just, man, this year couldn't suck any worse. I mean, the only good thing that happened this year really was legalization of marijuana in 4 states and medicalization passing in 4 others. Can anyone think of anything else good that happened this year aside from that? I'm watching the chat room. You guys are really lively today. And man, and George Michael, too. How is it we have a year where we lose half of Wham and 2/3 of Emerson, Lake and Palmer in the same year? I don't know, but I sure hope that Carl Palmer and Andrew Ridgely are holed up in a bunker somewhere for at least the next week, right? Don't come out till Monday. This is just a shitty year for some of the giants we lost this year. We lost one of the co-founders of the Eagles. We lost 2 of the co-founders of Jefferson Airplane. We lost Prince, Bernie Worrell, one of the founders, Maurice White, one of the founders of Earth, Wind, and Fire this year. Leonard Cohen. Oh, just so many that have passed away. Merle Haggard. Oh, some of the best ever. And it's just, man, can we make it another, what is it, 5 days we got left here? Can we make it another 5 or 6 days and not have to deal with a tragic, tragic loss? Yeah, and Doc Herbalist in the chat room is like, and Gene Simmons is still alive. Yeah, yeah, I was thinking that too. It's like Nickelback is all healthy, folks. Motley Crue ain't going anywhere. But we got to lose people in their 50s, man. That's just so sad. And come on, 2016, if you want to take someone, if you want to like make the world a better place, you want to make it up to us, you can take a Dick Cheney, right? somebody earlier was saying Trump, right? I'm like, no, don't take Trump. Then we're left with President Pence. We don't want that. But man, you can take Cheney. Come on, please. Show us that you're not just taking the good people. It's just awful, man. I'm telling you what, though, 2016, you better keep your hands off Betty White. Do not even think about taking Betty White from us this last week. That's it. I draw the line. All right. We're going to talk some more about marijuana in this hour because, you know, that's what we do. Coming up in our next segment, there was a great interview that Attention did. Run around and says, take Nugent. Yeah, please take Nugent. There's a great interview by Attention website, ATTN, the website, interviewed Bill Maher on his hiatus. He's on his holiday break doing his New Year's gig in Hawaii like he always does. But Bill Maher, they asked him about a bunch of stuff, Trump and Democrats and so forth. But he had some stuff to say about marijuana as well. We'll play some clips for you coming up after this first break here. Then we'll head off to our mandatory union required safety meeting. And in the second segment, I'm going to tell you about the man who has beaten my friend Robert Platshorn's record for longest serving nonviolent marijuana prisoner. And he continues to break the record every second of the day. That's coming up in the second segment. Then stay tuned for the third segment. We'll talk about some more weed. I don't know what yet.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world. We're just not sure about France. CannabisRadio.com. Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQwick.com.
Doc Rob, the concierge for better living.
Cannabis is just one of the many great plants that we have on this planet called Earth that we can use consciously and intelligently to improve our well-being.
Take a real, raw, inside look at healthier living while sharing great ideas and improvements for a better quality of life.
Learning to live and live well is a lifelong process. This is a journey. You could be 8 years old or 8 years old. You can still learn something that's going to make tomorrow a little bit healthier, a little bit easier, a little bit happier, a little bit better.
The Concierge for Better Living with Doc Rob. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had yourself a good break. And looking forward to the rest of this week, where we'll continue more of our look back at 2016, highlights of some of our events that we attended, and some of the stories of what, at least in the marijuana world, was a pretty good year. Hell, we got legalization now in 4 more states, 8 total. We got medical in 3 more states, 28 total now. It's a good thing weed got legalized for so many people, especially in so many blue states, so we can all smoke ourselves silly for the next 4 years. Oh my God. It's going to be a roller coaster ride, let me tell you, folks. And in this hour, too, I'll be talking a little bit more politics in 2017, because I have a feeling there's going to be a whole lot to talk about. So get ready for that. We're going to be doing more of the talk radio part of Toker Talk Radio, talking more about politics as the year goes on. But for this segment, I wanted to talk about our good friend Bill Maher. A friend, like I know him, never met the guy, but I wanted to talk about Bill Maher, who was recently asked by the website Attention about various topics, including the Trump administration and the election and how the Democrats should recover and so forth. And when asked if there could be federal marijuana raids in the 8 legal marijuana states under a Trump administration, Bill Maher said, "I certainly think it's possible." Now, yeah, it's certainly possible. It's always been possible. The question is whether or not they'll pull the trigger. Now, in the wide-ranging conversation, they discussed the Russian electoral interference, the Democratic Party being lost in the wilderness, the Bernie Sanders phenomenon, and so forth. But Bill also had a few things to say about marijuana and some advice for those of us in the world of marijuana. First of all, he said that he's worried about the Trump administration for sure.
I wasn't even a year ago. I remember doing an editorial on our show saying everyone is trying to get me to, you know, invest or somehow put my name on a, you know,
a weed product.
Marijuana. You know, they already had the names lined up. And I was like, yeah, you know, I had one friend who went to jail way back in 2000 because, I mean, we made marijuana medically legal here in California in 1996, but the feds came in and said, sorry.
That friend, of course, would be Todd McCormick. He's been a guest on the show, and we've run into him numerous times throughout the past 10 years. And yeah, McCormick did time, and that's got Bill Maher still nervous, still worried that the federal government could swoop in and conduct raids, haul people off to court, put them in prison. And it doesn't sound like Bill's very interested in heading there. Bill also was asked what advice he would have for marijuana consumers under the Trump administration.
Don't piss off your old dealer. You know, the guy you had to go and talk to before you got the weed and kind of deal with his skanky girlfriend and pretend you were interested in his stories. You might have to do that again.
Yeah, so we're back in those times.
Yeah, let's hope we're not back in those times. But that's the advice Bill has for us is keep your black market contacts. You never know what might happen. And in a final bit of conversation that has some meaning for those of us in the marijuana politics arena, Bill was asked about the Democrats losing to Donald Trump and how they ignored the phenomenon of Bernie Sanders and what they could do in the future.
Go where the energy is in the party. She wasn't that. When a 74-year-old man is getting huge crowds of 20-year-olds, pay attention to that.
Who should the Democrats run in 2020?
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom, of course, is California's lieutenant governor, and he led the Golden State's Blue Ribbon Commission on marijuana legalization, which led to the development and passage of Proposition 64. His suggestion of Newsom as the Democratic Party's 2020 presidential nominee would certainly warm my heart and many cannabis aficionados' hearts, as he is very, well, I wouldn't say he's pro-marijuana, but he's pro-reform. He definitely understands that the war on drugs does not work and sees the benefit in the legalization of cannabis. So having him running for president would definitely bring the marijuana issue to the fore, and it would be very difficult for Donald Trump to, in a re-election bid, to have to fight against Newsom. Also, Newsom, as a politician, as a statesman, as a figure, is someone who fits all the bill for running for president. Bill Maher made a statement about how Trump likes to say people come from central casting. Looks like he came from central casting. Folks, Gavin Newsom couldn't look more presidential. Gavin Newsom looks like somebody that was cast in a movie to be president. He's handsome. He's tall. He's got that. He kind of has a, if Mitt Romney were cool and younger, look to him. That could go very, very well. Now, the only consideration I have about Newsom as a 2020 presidential nominee is that Governor Jerry Brown, if I'm not mistaken, is up for, or his term ends in 2018, I think. We'll look that up and see if I can confirm it. But the plan, or what most observers believe is Newsom's plan, is to be the California governor, and perhaps springboard California governor into being the president, maybe in a run for 2024. Now, his term in office as governor, let's see, trying to get the notes here on this. It doesn't say California governor. Let's see, where are we at? Second term for governor. looking through all of Jerry Brown's to president. Okay, so candidacy for governor was elected in 2011. And how long does the governor of California serve? I think it's 6 years, but I can't find. Let's see, 2014 reelection. Okay, so if he was elected in 2015, so yeah, all right. So it looks like it's a 4 year term. So if he came in 2015, he'd be out in 2019. Somebody's gonna have to find more details on this because I don't know my California politics well enough. But it sounds to me as if the next governor in California would be serving starting in 2019, so he'd be the 2018 election. So that kind of puts Gavin Newsom into a tough position. If he wants to run for president, it would be running within just a year. You know, 2019, the presidential race will already be starting for 2020. He'll be just moving into the California governor's mansion. So will Newsom sit on the sidelines and not want to go against an incumbent Trump and let the Democrats run whoever they run, biding his time to be the governor of California from 2019 through 2023 and perhaps run for president in 2024 when he wouldn't be facing an incumbent? Or could it be that a Trump administration turns out so disastrous that the door is open for someone to win in 2020? And Newsom then forgoes running for California governor and jumps right from California lieutenant governor to a presidential race? I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine anyone else in the Democratic Party who's ready to go for 2020. Perhaps an Elizabeth Warren, maybe a long shot at another Bernie Sanders candidacy, but he'll be so old by then. Let's see. According to Trickster Phillips in the chat room, thank you. Governors elected by popular ballot serve terms of 4 years with a limit of 2 terms. Thank you very much. So, yes, 2019. I don't know. I'd love to see Gavin Newsom run. He's young enough and he has a good way of expressing progressive politics and explaining it that Democrats should really take heed to. He doesn't buy into Republican frames. He manages to paint progressive reforms and programs as a shared sacrifice, as a community good. And I think that's something that could go well in the forthcoming elections after 4 years of a Trump administration, after 4 more years showing people that those ideas of giving tax cuts to the rich and favoring business and allowing these terrible trade deals, 4 more years of that should convince people that what's working in California could work for the rest of the country. And it's an interesting state to look at, California, as it pretty much runs as if it's its own country in many ways. California has been doing many of the progressive reforms and programs that have been called for at a national level by Democrats and left-leaning reformers, and has seen a lot of success in environmental regulations and the data coming from the climate there in California, to job programs and infrastructure rebuilding. This could be a watershed year for the United States if we did see a candidacy from, and it's funny here in 2016, just ending up 2016, already looking for 2020. That gives you an idea of how much we all want to put this Trump administration. Even before it started, we're already looking for a way to change it here. I still have people that are trying to convince me that Trump may not be a bad thing for the marijuana movement. Well, I've yet to see that, but the way he's stalking his government, the way he's stalking his agencies with hardcore drug warriors, hardcore folks that believe the worst reefer madness, it's hard for me to see how he's going to lead them into not going after the drugs, not going after marijuana. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be another drug war, folks.
Leave us exit stage left.
All right, that sound means it's time for our mandatory union safety meeting. Local 420 in effect. We'll be back with some talk of America's longest serving nonviolent marijuana prisoner when we return.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great.
CannabisRadio.com.
Seeking a career in cannabis? Ready to become the next great budtender? Increase your knowledge, skills, and higher ability with a Trichome certification today. Trichome Institute is the only cannabis education company in the world with courses that include textbooks, workbooks, and expert-approved and government-certified curriculum. Trichome now offers these courses online. Take the courses at your own pace with 24/7 live human support from anywhere in the world. These courses are perfect for physicians, pharmacists, MMJ parents or patients, adult use customers, and most of all, aspiring budtenders. The course includes full access to the cannabis industry's largest job board and even includes resume building help. Register for online courses with the cannabis industry's educational leader in science, education, and training. Visit TrichomeInstitute.com today.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedeuplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer. Or email firedeuplawyer@gmail.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 4:23 here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. And I just happened upon a Twitter feed that is just about to bring a tear to my eye. Anne Thirall, she is, she's just she's got a Twitter account. It's kind of going viral with what she has said about the death of Carrie Fisher. And the thread opens with a picture of Fisher playing General Leia Organa from the episode 7, the most recent Star Wars movie, where she's, you know, older and she's a general, right? And I'm just going to read you the feed because it's very touching. Everyone is sharing pictures of Fisher when she was young, but let me show you the Leia that was the most important to me, General Organa. She's not young, not wearing a gold bikini or a robe. She's dressed to do what she's been training her whole life to do, lead the rebellion. This is the Leia that has lost everything. Her world, her parents, her son to the dark side, her brother to who knows where, her lover. This is the Leia that could easily have broken down or given up, but she was stronger than literally every man in her life. She kept going. Because for Leia, fighting for what is right and just is more important than her feelings or her personal life. She is a fucking fighter. Unlike Luke or Han, Leia keeps fighting when things seem impossible. In spite of all the losses she suffered, in spite of impossible odds, she's in it for the long haul. She's the real fucking hero in Star Wars. Without Leia, the rebellion would have been quashed long ago. When I see Fisher as General Organa, I see a woman who has to put up with so much shit from so many men and yet keeps showing up for them. In General Organa, I see a woman changed by loss but not destroyed. I see a brilliant commander with good people skills and tactical knowledge. Princess Leia was great, but General Organa was Fisher's real gift to us, and she's who I'm going to be looking to in dark times. May we all be able to get up every day and, in spite of our pain and loss and fear, put on our boots and vest and plan to destroy the Empire. I often think about how Leia was born, well, adopted, into princesshood, but she earned the rank of general through hard fucking work. Like, oh my God, you get so many montages of Luke training, but Leia worked so much harder than him with half the recognition. And in the end, it wasn't Jedis who did the bulk of the work in the rebellion. It was regular people who hadn't received any special training. General Organa taught me that you don't have to be special or chosen to be a leader. You just have to show up and learn to do the work. Wow. That is certainly getting all of the attention it should be getting on the internet. And wow, very well written. And exactly. Can't add more to that. All right, let me go to the story I wanted to talk about here in this segment, and it has to do tangentially with my friend. On April 18th, my friend Robert Platshorn was convicted for his role in a nonviolent marijuana smuggling operation. They were bringing Colombian marijuana up through Miami, Florida. And 2 months prior to that, on February 21st, 1980, 45-year-old Antonio Bascaro was placed in jail custody, awaiting his trial on charges relating to his involvement in a nonviolent Cuban marijuana smuggling ring that helped bring in weed, like Bobby, from Colombia to Florida. Now, we're going to compare that to another person who served a lot of time. On March 30th, 1981, would-be assassin John Hinckley Jr. fired a small handgun 6 times at President Ronald Reagan. Now, Antonio Bascaro was still sitting in a jail cell that day. He was a Cuban exile. He flew for the Cuban Navy, and he was actually supposed to be a part of the CIA's Bay of Pigs invasion. He had no criminal history at all. And there were no other drugs, no cocaine, nothing else, or any violence involved in the smuggling ring. He sat in jail that day in 1981 when John Hinckley tried to kill President Reagan. The next year, on June 21st, 1982, John Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity. The jury agreed with the defense, who had argued that Hinckley had narcissistic personality disorder and was pathologically obsessed with actress Jodie Foster and her role in the 1976 movie Taxi Driver, which they argued drove Hinckley to shoot Reagan. Now, due to his mental illness, John Hinckley was never sent to prison. He was instead committed to St. Elizabeth's Hospital, a mental institution. Antonio Bascaro also went to trial in 1982, having already sat in jail for 2 years. He was then 47 years old, and he was found guilty of his first-time nonviolent marijuana offense and sent to federal prison. Fast forward to 1994. 59-year-old Antonio Bascaro still sat in that prison when the convicted leader of the Cuban marijuana smuggling ring he was a part of, a man named Jose Luis Acosta, was set free. Here's what Acosta told NBC News at the time. Quote, this is the NBC News report. The reason, Acosta said, was that he cut deals with federal agents, offering them information on a number of other cases involving drug trafficking and police corruption, including one that targeted the jewelry store owner who introduced him to Bascaro. Prosecutors in turn persuaded judges to shorten his time in prison. Acosta said he tried to get Bascaro to do the same, but his former partner refused. Acosta said, quote, I'm very sorry he's still in prison. He's been in too long. I tried to get him to cooperate, but he lost his opportunity to do something for himself to get himself out of there, end quote. Yeah, Antonio Biscotto refused to snitch. In 1999, 64-year-old Antonio Biscotto still sat in that prison when judges allowed the St. Elizabeth Hospital to begin allowing John Hinckley to leave the hospital for supervised visits with his parents. In 2005, 70-year-old Antonio Biscotto still sat in that prison when a federal judge ruled that John Hinckley could leave the hospital for 3 or 4 days at a time to visit his parents, solely under their supervision. In 2008, 73-year-old Antonio Biscotto still sat in that prison when my friend Bobby Platshorn, who was then the longest-serving nonviolent marijuana prisoner in America, was released from prison at the age of 64 after serving 29 years. This year, a federal judge declared that 61-year-old John Hinckley Jr. was no longer a threat to society and freed him to go live with his mother. Over the past decade, Hinckley had been spending up to 17 days a month free from the hospital. This February, 82-year-old Antonio Biscotto will mark his 37th year behind bars, sitting in a wheelchair, hoping to live long enough to see his scheduled release on June 8th, 2019. Now, President Obama has made history by commuting the sentence of hundreds of drug criminals. In fact, more than the last 11 presidents combined. However, Antonio Biscotto's sentence has not been one of them. As his son explains, quote, "Even though President Obama has given 944 commutations for clemency so far, my father's was not one of them. To the contrary, he was given the news that his clemency has been officially denied. There is no mercy for the longest-serving prisoner for a nonviolent marijuana offense, an 82-year-old grandfather who has been in prison for 36 years. We are heartbroken and can't understand why. We were not given a reason," end quote. Now, last month, NBC News reported on this case, and they explained how Antonio Biscotto did everything he could to try to get released early, all to no avail. NBC writes, "He amassed good behavior credits and tried repeatedly to appeal the length of his sentence. He applied for compassionate release due to his age and was denied. That left clemency as his only option. He filed twice on his own, and this summer got volunteer assistance from a lawyer working for a program aimed at processing the massive number of applications to Obama's clemency initiative. That too failed." Now, apparently, according to an article Mike Adams wrote up on High Times, there's a statute of limitations when it comes to compassion for elderly, nonviolent marijuana offenders. Mike writes, quote, "Unfortunately for Biscotto's case, it happened so many years ago that he does not qualify for the Bureau of Prisons Compassionate Release Program, which allows prisoners who are at least 65 years old that have served 50% of their sentence the possibility for an early release. Essentially, Biscotto is forced to serve out the remainder of his prison term behind bars because he is not eligible for any of the sentencing reform implemented by the Obama administration over the past few years." Digging a little deeper, the Clemency Report, a nonprofit that works on this issue, explains it further, saying that, quote, "Antonio's Orwellian sentence includes such legal absurdities as a non-parolable offense, a sentence exempt from the Obama administration's efforts to shorten drug sentences because he's been in prison too long, a sentence that doesn't qualify for the U.S. Sentencing Commission recent reforms shortening the drug sentences of 40,000 federal prisoners because his sentence is too old to be shortened, and an ineligibility to receive compassionate release for elderly prisoners because the regulations were written in a way that didn't take into account the existence of a man so old and locked up for so long." Any nation that could keep a disabled elderly man behind bars for a nonviolent crime that's now legal in 8 states and approved by 60% of the public because that's the law, while treating with kid gloves a would-be presidential assassin because he's insane, well, I don't know if I can put it any better than Robert Platshorn did when he and Antonio Bascaro were first imprisoned back in the 80s. At his sentencing hearing, Robert Platshorn said to the court, quote, "Pot dealers in America are given the same type of justice as a Jew in Hitler's Third Reich or a black man in Florida. Sentences that call for imprisoning pot dealers are as irrational and cruel as the Inquisition or the witch trials. I now face more prison time than some of the worst villains in our history, more than a second-degree murderer, rapist, child arsonist, more than Al Capone, and probably more than Charlie Manson." End quote. Well, Charlie Manson's still in prison. But other than that, Tuna, you're absolutely right. We're going to take a break, smoke some weed, and be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing, so are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Everyone deserves the medicine they need. Aaron's premium CBD essentials and CBD nectar products are made from plant-based organic ingredients, grown and processed in the United States. Our unique formula of coconut oil and coconut water, infused with CBD oil, is ideal for all skin types and provides maximum relief. Aaron's Essentials was formulated by 9/11 first responder and stage 4 cancer survivor Aaron Sieber. As a cannabis connoisseur, Aaron began making and using his own lab-tested medicinal cannabis products to help relieve the side effects of his rigorous cancer treatments. Visit www.cannasaurbrands.com for more information on Aaron's Essentials and learn how you can pay it forward. That's CannaisseurBrands.com.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
Senator Mark Madsen of Utah. Mark, welcome to the show.
Everybody kind of turns a blind eye. They obviously have to go to some other state.
Representative Lou Fredericks.
We're going to get something on the order of nonviolent possession offenses.
State Representative Kathy Tilton.
Where does it go from personal use to commercial use?
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Pod 2.0. This is not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're live from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, chilling out here in Delta 9 Studios, with a reminder that you can visit Delta 9 Studios. We are a 420-friendly little place here, and we got a place for you to stay. I am not kidding. You want to visit Portland? You want to check out what legalization's all about? You want to shop at our pot shops, eat at our food carts, drink from our endless taps of wonderful craft beer and cider? Visit our strip clubs, maybe? You want to check out Portland? I got a place for you to stay. I'm not kidding. I got a place for you to stay that isn't going to charge you $250 if you smoke marijuana in the room. In fact, we might charge you $250 if you don't. That's right. You can stay at Delta 9 Studios, but you better send me an email quick because the slots are filling up fast. The room goes for just $60 a night. It's your own private room, but you do have to share the bathroom and shower. But your own private room here in Southeast Portland, right near the bus line. Easy access to downtown. You don't have to have a car here, folks. Don't come to Portland and think you need to rent a car unless you want to travel out of town. You can get by on the streetcars. You can get by on the buses and the MAX train. Get anywhere you need to go. But you can do it right here from Delta 9 Studios. We've got a 420-friendly room for you. Send me an email, radicalruss@gmail.com, if you're interested in the visit. And we will be glad to have you here. You can even hang out while I do the show. You can hang out right here and watch me do the show. Get on the mic if you want to. I'm serious. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and that includes you. You can call us anytime you like, 24 hours a day at our studio line, 650-LEGAL-MJ is the line, 650-534-2565. And we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear from you about the about whatever you want to talk about. Got all sorts of great stuff going on here at Cannabis Radio as we move forward. I've been telling people about how in 2017, it looks like we'll be going back to video. I've been having people request me to restart my my streams out on YouTube so people can follow the show that way. And I'm going to do it. I think it's weird, really, because my YouTube feed was just like a webcam in the corner of the room filming me talking on the microphone. I don't know why that's compelling video, but apparently some people want it, so I'll bring it back, I guess. That's what we're going to do. Also, some gigs coming up in January. Last weekend of January, I will be in Richmond, Virginia at the Virginia Normal Conference. That'll be the 28th through the 31st that I'll be in Virginia. And, of course, 31st is my birthday, so want to celebrate my birthday with me, meet me out there in Virginia for the Virginia Normal Conference. You can find more at vanormal.org, I think is the website, or just Google Virginia Normal. In February, on the 16th and 17th, I'll be in San Francisco at the International Cannabis Business Conference. Great conference out there. It's the longest running marijuana business conference in California. And with legalization coming there, there's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about. All the experts will be there. You can get the latest information on the cannabis commerce going on in California at the International Cannabis Business Conference. Check out internationalcbc.com and get all the details. And if you buy the tickets earlier, they're cheaper. So get on that. Nothing happening in March yet, but I'm sure there'll be a gig. After that, in April 11th and 12th, it's the International Cannabis Business Conference in Berlin, Germany. Be my first visit to Europe. And I'm hoping to make that a long visit, maybe a week-long visit, that'll take me to London as well, and perhaps Barcelona, and certainly Amsterdam. So we're going to try to get all that worked out. It's going to depend a lot on money. And you can help with that if you'd like. We're always looking for support here at the Russ Belville Show. You can PayPal me money by sending it to russ@radicalruss.com if you're so interested. All right, taking a look at the marijuana news, there is a story out in Forbes.com. Came out yesterday on six predictions for the marijuana industry in 2017. And let's see what these predictions are. They sat down with some marijuana experts, asking them what their predictions were. And one of the concerns, of course, has to do with the incoming Trump administration. And the appointment, perhaps, of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. So with that in mind, here are six of the predictions that are coming from Forbes. Number one prediction is that Los Angeles will become the marijuana capital. Adam Bierman is the chief executive officer of cannabis investment from MedMen Capital, and he thinks that Los Angeles is going to be the new cannabis capital. It's going to take the spotlight from the Mile High City. Bierman said that LA's medical marijuana market alone is close to $1 billion, which is the entire Colorado market. The city is expected to pass an ordinance in 2017 for proper licensing that will open up the recreational market, and capital is flowing. as investors smell money in the Los Angeles market. Well, yeah. I mean, that's just kind of an inevitability. That's not, you know, you're not going really out on a limb predicting that, LA is going to be the capital of marijuana. But it depends on how you define it. To me, the capital of marijuana is going to be the place that is the most marijuana friendly. And if we get this Assemblyman Rob Bonta up there in Oakland successfully getting the assembly to pass this ban on cannabis billboards, then no, LA won't be the most cannabis friendly place. Won't be the friendliest place for business. It'll be the billboards in Portland, the billboards in Denver that people will associate with legal marijuana. It's not just how much weed is being sold that makes something the cannabis capital, if you ask me. To me, it's how accepting they are of cannabis. Do we have cannabis lounges? Are they allowing cannabis cups? Are they allowing, you know, the open air events and so forth? So I say the jury's still out on that one. Their number two prediction from Forbes is that a sports league will green light marijuana. Bierman believes that in 2017, a major sports league will approve the use of cannabis for medical purposes. I don't think so. I don't think this one comes true in 2017. So long as cannabis is federally illegal, there is way too much money and way too many government entanglements for the major sports leagues, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, hockey, Major League Soccer, for them to green light it. And by green light, I'm saying approve of it, saying medical marijuana is okay. Now, if we're going to lower the bar and say maybe one of the sports leagues will stop testing for it, stop punishing it, then maybe. I mean, already the National Hockey League doesn't test for marijuana. They don't care. I could see one of the leagues perhaps getting marijuana dropped as something not to be punished for. Or maybe creating an exemption if a player is in a medical marijuana state and has a recommendation. But as far as I'm green lighting it, saying, hey, we're going to start giving medical marijuana to the players, no, no way in hell that's going to happen. The number three prediction, a primetime network show with a marijuana theme. Well, I think that, I don't know. I don't know about that. They talk about how HBO has a show called High Maintenance. MTV's got a show called Mary Plus Jane. Adam Scott from Parks and Rec has a green light from NBC to develop a show called Buds about a dispensary in Denver. Well, I mean, we've already had a primetime network show that had a bit of a marijuana theme in That 70s Show. Even though marijuana was never shown, it was certainly understood that they were in a smoking circle. I mean, Tommy Chong played a character in the show. So we've had it in a sitcom sense. I don't know that this is really going out much on a limb either. I think we're going to get that, you know, Showtime had Weeds, of course. I think, primetime show with marijuana in it's probably inevitable. Their number four prediction is an increase in interest for synthetic CBD. This one, they talked to Seth Yakutan, who's the chief executive officer for Calitera, which is a biotech company. He says, quote, with Attorney General Sessions and the DEA's clarification that plant-derived CBD isn't legal, federally there will be an interest in synthetic forms of CBD, which is what Calitera has been testing the efficacy of for a few years. Well, I think there'll be, you know, people trying everything they can to get the benefit of the hype around CBD for epileptic kids and such without running afoul of the illegality of cannabidiol, which, by the way, has always been illegal. Don't believe these people you're reading online that says, oh, but if it's hemp derived, if it comes from hemp stocks, it's all bullshit, people. It's all bullshit being sold at you by people who want you to keep buying and investing in their hemp-derived CBD products. Don't believe the hype. CBD's always been illegal. It's always been Schedule One. It's just that the government hasn't bothered to go after it yet, hasn't felt the need to go after it yet. But this idea that there's going to be this massive move toward synthetic CBDs, I really don't think is going to pan out, because I think GW Pharmaceuticals really has the route for plant-derived CBD to be tried and pass the FDA and become available. So I don't think there's going to be a need for this synthetic CBD. They also say there's going to be a growth for craft marijuana, premium marijuana, seed to sale storytelling, and other value adds, celebrity endorsements, organic features, the year of craft bud. Yes. Yes. I think that is inevitable as well, as we now have 8 states with legalization and all these marijuana growers look to stand out. I mean, I'm already reading about the gold box and all of these high-end premium subscription services that can get you a $3,000 marijuana cigar and so forth. That's definitely going to happen. But I think the other side of that that doesn't get mentioned as much, there'll be a growth of craft marijuana. There'll also be a growth in low potency, what do you want to call it? Walmart weed. I think we're going to see, that's going to be a market that expands, that I think is going to surprise some people, a growth in the low THC market of people wanting weed that relaxes them but doesn't make them all stony stoned. Day weed, you might call it. Work weed. I don't know. And finally, their 6th prediction in Forbes for the marijuana industry in 2017, recycling marijuana failures. They want to figure out, what can we do with marijuana that fails pesticide testing? They want them to be turned into solvent-based concentrates. Oh, good. Let's concentrate our pesticides, too. No. I don't think that's one that's coming up anytime soon. How about learning how to grow your weed without pesticides? How about that? All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll close up shop and get ourselves ready for the Cactus Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Boise State in the Cactus Bowl.
Is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedlawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedup.lawyer@gmail.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and I'm getting myself ready for Boise State playing Baylor in the Cactus Bowl. Boise State 10-2, narrowly missed getting into a New Year's Bowl by number one, a safety in Wyoming, and number two, inability to punch the ball in on first and goal from the 1 yard line against Air Force. Aside from that, Western Michigan now is playing in the New Year's Bowl, and we get to play the Cactus Bowl against Baylor, a team that opened the year 6-0 and closed the year 0-6. So, yeah, we get to play a 500 club that's itching for something to make their season meaningful. And meanwhile, we're going to have a team that's disappointed that they're not playing on New Year's. So I sure hope Boise State is up for the game. Starts in just a couple of hours, and I will be rooting for them. Go Big Blue! Also, as we close things up, we've been talking about deaths in 2016. I've had a couple of deaths, two or three. Had my dog Roscoe got hit by a car a couple weeks ago. So that add that to the list of how 2016 has sucked. Got divorced and my dog died. Death of a marriage and death of a dog in my world. And for that matter, death of my laptop's DVD drive and death of its card reader, its SD card reader. I've bought myself a new card reader, USB card reader. So last week's shows should be uploaded. If you check out cannabisradio.com or the podcast feeds at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and TuneIn, those should be updated. And for Kathy in our chat room who missed the whole show, don't worry, Kathy. I'm recording it right now. I'll upload it tonight. You can listen to it tomorrow. We'll have another show tomorrow as well as we continue our look back at 2016, the year that sucked. That's what we should just call it, 2016, the year that sucked. So we'll have plenty more of those coming up on the rest of this week. And then next week, we jump right in to 2017. By the end of this week, we will have done 879 shows. So we start 2017 with show 880. And that means with show 880 starting in January, we will sometime in February, I think around February 10th it would be, I will set a new record for number of shows. I did 908 shows for Normal as the Daily Audio Stash or Normal Show Live. And so somewhere in February, the Russ Belville show will eclipse that record with show number 909. And it also means that sometime in July, I imagine, maybe by the 4th of July, we'll hit show number 1,000. Oh my God, show number 1,000. Who'd imagine that you could do 1,000 shows talking about weed? But that's happening. That's coming up. All right. That sound means we're out of time. Time flies when you legalize, folks. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us here day after day. Or if you're a new listener, thanks for finding us and tell your friends. We're here every weekday except federal holidays and my travel days here at CannabisRadio.com exclusively live. Or you can catch the podcast at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can find me as Radical Russ on everything. If it's got a username, I'm Radical Russ on it. And you can email me at Gmail, radicalruss@gmail.com. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios in beautiful, legal, southeast Potland, Oregon, and our friends at CannabisRadio.com in Scottsdale and Boca Raton, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.